Since we dealt with yesterday, starting just when we finished up the daf about staka, we talked about the bahag yesterday, about what the marshal had said about people who have ill-gotten gains and then give staka with that money. So I was looking for the bahag. Unfortunately, I didn't find my copy. It's in boxes somewhere, so I'll be able to find that. But I did want, there's a very important Or Chaim in Mishpatim. Mishpatim on the pasuk im kesef talvei atami, who describes what the tzedakah is, and it's worth reading inside. But I'll read a little bit of it here, which is what is the word? What's the shorish of the word tzedakah? The shorish of the word tzedakah comes from the word tzedek, right? Which means just or justice, right? So why you would have thought, you know, the word chesed or any other term of generosity would be more appropriate for giving to another person. So why is tzedek or tzedakah the word that's used? So the Or Chaim writes, as we have Or Chaim, "Hanemet ma ki ma sheyachzor l'adam mechdei sorcho. What a person has less than his needs, yesh tam b'davar. So reasonably yasro al abono, right? To miyaser him on a sin. Ma she'en kein otzrot hon. But what do you say about a fact that someone has tons of money? What happens, you say, if people have more than they need? Lam le'ish in lo tzorach b'hem. That the people aren't entitled to their proper amount because of their actions. Hashem gives whatever person needs. When a person sins, someone therefore is not able to get their parnasa b'chavod. What happens to that portion that was supposed to go to him? Does that go back up to heaven? He says no. Who mitkabetz el makom echer, goes to another place. His parnasa ends up with someone else. So the fact that there are those that are wealthy and have beyond their means, and there's people that don't even have their means, that's because it's being transferred from one to the other. This person won't have, you know, will have trouble making ends meet. The way Hashem is gozer, you know, and rightfully. Right, and because of this, Hashem does two things: to pay back the person, you know, who has done something wrong. But basically, the other person will get the mitzvah of giving tzedakah. V'zehu omroi mekesef talvei atami perush. Im re'ita shahaya lecha kesef yotera o masha tatzrich la'atzmacha. If you see you have more money or more monetary means than you need for yourself, she'ata malve la'ami. Make sure that you're loaning out to others, right? Teda lecha. This is an amazing line in the Or Chaim. No, she'en ze chelek ha'magiacha. It's not your money. This is one doesn't belong to you. It belongs to those others who have a deficit in their parnasa. Their deficit is coming into yours, into your parnasa, and that therefore you are obligated to return that. Right, that he has to give his own money. Don't feel for some reason, you know, either haughty or look down upon the ani. Because you're the giver. So therefore you can't be oppressor to him. You're giving him what is rightfully is. Right? It's an amazing Or Chaim that the word staka and tzedek means that you're giving back the money to its rightful owner. That it's not staka. We always think of staka as that your generosity, meaning that you're taking what's yours, and then you're giving to someone else who doesn't otherwise have and is not deserving of it, and you give, and that's the whole idea of staka, right? You're going with nimishu at the din. The Or Chaim here seems to imply that it's tzedek, that that's the din. The din is that this money belongs to the ani, and that you were zoche to get that parnosa, or excess parnosa, because for whatever reason, Hashem moved it from one to the other. And therefore, when you're giving the tzedakah, you're just returning it to its rightful owner. And not being lifnimishu sedin and not doing anything that's so great. And that's why he says you can't look down upon the ani, because you're just a messenger from Hashem to return that which belongs to that ani. Again, that goes along with our Gemara that that by Akdima Ben Gurion, right? That the fact that he gave either didn't give enough kilamevit avit or he did lichvodo, both of those were failings in giving tzedakah, right? Because number one is the excess money that he has is not for his own use; it belongs to those others. And number two is that he's got to give because it's not his. I mean, he really needs to give of his money. All right. Continue on the top of Samach Zayim and Amud Aleph. We finished off here. The Gam Shein Shei Lefum Gam LaShichan. Right. According to the Gamal, that's the load. Natanya. Amar Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Tzadok Erev Ben Chama Ibn Lo Itiyah. He also has a story with Akdim Ben Gurion's daughter. I saw Shaita Melaket Etzarim Ben Talfei Susim. She was gathering barley from the between the hooves of the horses. Ba'aku. Karati Aleh Ami Mikra Zeh. I read. I called from this pasuk. Lo Teidi Lach Hayafeh Ben Hashim. So the way they're reading now, the pasuk is Lo Teidi Lach. If I do not, you know, take care of you, Hashem, properly, or I don't recognize you, Hashem, properly. Yafeh ben Hashim, the most beautiful of the women, meaning those like Nakdim and Dvinirim's Gori. Tzilach b'ikvei hatzon, go out to the, you know, the feet of the tzon or the heels of the tzon. Uriyet gididotayach, and you will from the word ro'eh, right? You will eat and gather your food over there. You will. Don't say Gidi Otayach, but Ella Gvi Otayach, your own bodies. I mean that Ro'eh, but Re'iyah to get Otayach here would mean that from the word Ro'eh, right, which means to graze, you know, your body at the Gvi Otayach, meaning that that's how you're going to get your food. So it's exactly the story of Nachmina and Dorion's daughter, that's how she was eating, right? She was eating from the leftovers or between the. That which is leaven by the behemoth. I guess you could also read it verei, which was before, right? It was the excrement of the. That doesn't read so well in here. Et gviotayach, right? From that's where she got her food from. All right, so that's the end of the story of Nakhmiel Magurion. Now we're gonna have one sugi about gold, and then we'll get back to some interesting from tzedakas again. So Har Hashem v'Avraham v'Yochanan echnisa lo zahav. He brought in gold, right? So when he brings it in, then he assesses the value of the gold, and it stays at that value. Rashi says, what does it mean it stays at that value? You don't increase it by a third, right? Meaning that if it's ready money, you increase it by a third, and if it's not, then you reduce it by a chomesh. Gold stays at its stated value. Right? So meitveh, my ass on this, azav, ariuka kalin. Right, that the gold is like what? Like utensils. If it's like utensils, then what do we know? We know the din of a utensil is what? That they're pochet, and therefore you have to reduce it by 20%. So this sounds against Rabbi Yochanan's position. My lab kikelim shekesef de pachte. What is it? Because it's like silver kalim that go down in value. And so again, we talked about that reducing the 20% was for two reasons. One was the fact that they over time you're going to use them and they're going to depreciate, right? And the other one was the overstatement of the assessment at the time. So here the Gemara is clearly talking about the side of that they are losing value, they depreciate. So just like kelim shel kesef, it could be they depreciate either because that's the natural order, everything depreciates over time, or you could say here kesef de pachte is because she uses them frequently.
You get worn down.
Right, silver utensils are used on a frequent basis and therefore they'll wear down, as opposed to kelim shel zahav, which are used infrequently, and therefore will not lose their value, or because of, you know, that gold itself is able to retain value. Even if it depreciates, gold has a everlasting value. Sorry. Lo, someone says, no, kelim shel zahav to lo pachti. No, it's comparing zahav to kelim shel zahav, right, to utensils of gold that don't go but don't depreciate. Im kain, kekelav mi bayele. You should have written, if it was talking about gold utensils, you say zahav, hari hu kekelav. Right, gold is like gold utensils, right? Would be kelab, its own, right? The possessive kelab. So why didn't it say that? But oh, Tanya, we have another price, so that also makes this difficult. Zahav, hari hu kekelim. That gold is like utensils. Tinare zahav, hari hen kesafim. And gold coins are like money. So it sounds like from this that what gold is like kalim, that you have to reduce it by 20%, and dinaris, golden coins, are what? Like money, which would be increased by a third. Sounds like there's no category that Rabbi Yochanan is talking about, which is gold, right? Plain gold, it just does get some in its value. Shem Gamliel Omer, but Makom Shenagul Shelo Lefortan, in a place where they do not break gold coins into smaller change or into other coinage, right? Sheminoto, Varihen Bishovyahen, and they stay at their value. You assess them and they stay at their value. Why? Because if you can't Pimifarate the gold coins, then they're not useful. You can't go out and do business with them because they're not useful. Rabbi Shimon Gom. So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Gom, hi. What part of the Mishnah does Rabbi Shimon Gom go on? Ilema Seifa. If he's arguing on the position of the Tanakam and the Seifa that said what? Zahav, Aryan Kisafim. That gold is like money. Michlal, the Tanakam, Sarah, Filuva Makush, Nagush, Lola Fartam, that even that the Tanakam holds, even in a place where you can't use gold coinage as currency, right? Halo Nafki. Why would he say that what they're like money if you can't use them? They just don't work like money. Elalav Aresha must be that Rabbi Shimon is arguing on the first statement of the Tanakam, which is what? Zahav Hari Huke Kalim. That gold is like utensils. Vachin Kamar Zahav Hari Huke Kalim. Right, that's the Tanakama's position. My kelim, kelim shel kesef. These are utensils of silver. Rabbi Shimon Gomer, ayu kedinarim shel zahav. Right, that they are. Rabbi Shimon Gomer says no, they're like gold coins. Makom shenagush lo lefarton. A place where gold coins don't get used. So that would work well with Rabbi Yochanan's statement above that he'll hold the Rabbi Shimon Gomer that what zahav is like an item that what doesn't get used, but plus it doesn't have monetary a currency value, and therefore you just mark it at its true value and leave it at that. So the Gemara says, no, the Olam HaSeifa, no, it's going on Seifa, but Nafka Yedeya Tachak, that gold coins are used in unusual circumstances. V'hakim Iflige, this is what they argue about. Mar Savakeh Nafke Mishabchinanla, right? So there is, since they are useful in unusual circumstances, therefore we increase the value by a third for other, like other monies that you bring in and currencies that you bring into the marriage, because they're used, you can use them for business, for making money. Says, since they're not used on a frequent basis, they're only used in unusual circumstances. Therefore, you don't assume he's going to do business with them. All right. So,
means what?
That they increase. Mashabeach means increase it by a third, right? They add on that 50% value to because of the future value of the money that he can do business with it. The other way to fix the brisa is to say what? The entire brisa is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So, according to the first reading of the Gemara, right? Then maybe Rabbi Yochanan, there's nothing in that Mishnah that addresses Rabbi Yochanan's position, because it didn't talk about zahav, just plain gold. It talked about gold coins, and it talked about gold kalim, never addressed the issue of gold itself, which is what Rabbi Yochanan was addressing. Ibai Zema, the way to explain that brisa, so it's not a problem for Rabbi Yochanan's position, is that Kula Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the whole brisa is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Surei Mechser, it's missing words. Vachitani Zahav Haru Kekelim. Gold is like utensils. Dinare Zahav Harihen Kekesafim. Right? Gold coins are like currency. Bamid V'ayim Makom Shenagush Lo Lefortan. That's only in a place where they are used as currency. V'Makom Shenagush Lo Lefortan, place where they're not used as currency, gold coins. Then you assess them at their true value and leave them at that value, because they do not depreciate, but they also do not work as currency, and therefore they're not valuable either to reduce. They're not depreciating, so you don't have to reduce their value, and they aren't valuable for business, so therefore you don't increase their value. Shir Rabbi Gamliel ben Shemliel Omer, because Rabbi Shemliel says Magush Nagush Lola Fortan, in a place that you do not use them as a currency. So that would help Rabbi Yochanan. The problem is, right? The problem is then the statement should say what? That they are zahav harehu kikelav. You still haven't run out of that problem. We had the brisa that says zahav harehu kikelim, right? We don't have any way to explain it now, right? Because zahav is no longer like kelim; it's like kikelav. Has to be like its own utensils that it doesn't depreciate in order to explain the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. So that still is a problem. So kasha, that we can't solve according to this reading of the Gemara. Iba yisema, there's some say, hachav ma'iskinim b'da'ava pricha. We're talking about gold
brittle.
That it's, yeah, right, thin gold that breaks down, that Rav Ashimar b'mamale, right, that it's dak shel zahav, very thin zahav. So both of these have, right, value where they can, I mean, they can't be used, certainly can't be used for anything, and they could lose value, as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan, who was talking about gruchgrot of gold, which are solid bricks of gold, where they don't lose value and they don't depreciate, they don't fall apart, and they're not also yotze. So then Rabbi Yochanan, when he made a statement that you put them at their true value, and that's it, is talking about bricks or blocks of gold. You know, the others, that when they're talking about either that you have to put them in, if they put them in with reduced value, is at a point where the gold is going to somehow depreciate because it's so thin, it's so brittle. That's the way Rashi reads it. Tosfos reads it, b'mamale, is from, it's zahav ani tamad haaretz b'motzo. It's mined gold. So I don't know, it must be impure gold at that point, right? Where it's gold that's going to lose value as you purify the gold because the other stuff's going to fall away. So there's no reason to either assume that it's going to be used for currency or worry. Or to here, you're going to worry about depreciation because the value is going to go down because as you purify it, it'll be reduced. Right now, the Gemara is going to go through a list of items. Some machlokas here about what these items are. There are items that are in those locations. They are the norm, meaning that they're so normal that they act like currency. That's the way Rashi learns it, okay? They're so normal that these are such an integral part, right? Integral part of their society that they became the equivalent of currency. Right, so it'd be today even, like where we had to either, you know, dollar, where we use paper money, or where we use checks.
Yeah, the liquid assets, you know, would be...
Right, or checks, things that are not truly value, but they represent certain type of value. Here, I mean, the commodities still have value, but people traded them so frequently that they became like currency, like a currency. So that's the way Rashi learns it. Tosfos learns it, in a second we'll look at the Tosfos, but he learns it a little differently. So here, so the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yani, b'samim shel antochia. Right, the perfumes or the spices of Antochia are in Ksafim. They have a din of Kesef. Rosh Mor Nachmani and Rabbi Yochanan Gimalim Shal Arabia. Right, the camels of Arabia Yikshag Govah Pornamihem. A woman takes out Pornamihem. What is a Pornamihem? So Rashi says Revach Shlish. They're treated like currency, and therefore they have to increase the value by a third because there is the equivalent of currency, and you can do business with them. And therefore, they increase them by a third. Amra papi hane totvei de bei michse isha govar porna mehem. So these totvei, what are these totvei? Smalot, Rashi says smalot or simlot shalotomakom. Right, these types of plazas from this place. Isha govar porna mehem. Again, she gets the third. It's a currency. It's a equivalent of currency. Amra papi hane sake de rodia. These the bags or the sacks of Rodiyah, of Ashle, the Kimchonia, and the ropes of Kimchonia. These places must have been famous for each of these items, and they were the main item that came out of that place. They became like a currency in that place. Shagovah Barnamehem, again, she's able to take a third above, and it's like currency. I thought that these kisim are like wallets, or little bags of money, that they were the equivalent of currency, and that people relied on them like what? Like karka, they were like land to them. So my time, that they rely on them, because what? If there is no karka there, if there's no land there, they go ahead and they're gova from these bags of money. Came into Chazai, then I saw the shakli luhub nafke, that the women, after they were taking their ksuba, or they were going to gova from that money, they used to take that money, that when they found some land, they bought it. So it was clear that what? They weren't treating the money like land. They were just taking the money because it was readily available. And as soon as they found land to buy, they bought the land in order to preserve their whatever value it had. So Amino Asmachatayu Arahu, that they really don't depend on these. They don't look at them like karka or a currency. And therefore, you can't say that they work like karka. Right? So the question is, what does that mean? Asmachatayu Alay Rashi says, Vigabi Metautalei, right? And they take them as Metautalim. They're in place of land, the fish palace chorahim. Because they're ikar, they weren't land people, they were business people. And so the ikar of what they had was money, not karka. And therefore the people looked at money like karka in those places. But in the end, he said that's not true, because in the end, when they really wanted to preserve something, they went and bought land.
Because
the definition of currency doesn't have to be something that preserves it. You know, currency is something that you could use to buy.
Right. And so it seems, according to Rashi, it seems like a transition to Gemara. Gemara went parna was talking about that it's a currency. And the last piece of the Gemara, it says that this item was so important, or these items were so important, that they acted like karka. Mm. Right, so that was like almost like a separate sugya. The way Tosus learns, look at here in Tosus, Gemalim Shel Arabia, right, the Gemalim of Arabia, it says, perish for country is that that's currency. It says, V'kosh L'Rabbeinu Tam, V'gari L'le Meymar, Hari Henk Safim. You have an easier way to say that. Just say it is like money. It's like safim, like you did above by Zahab. Hari Henk is safim. It's like currency. Right, Gabriel, Venero Lo de Ketuba Iri. We're talking about the Ksuba. Shaisha Gova Ketuba Tamehen. That a woman can grab her Ksuba from them. So Rashi's saying we're talking about the assessment of the value going into the Ksuba. Venero Tam is saying, no, this is these items were what? The Asmachati Olayu. It connects to the last piece of the Gemara, that they are like karkos. Right, that they are so.
Makes no sense.
Right, they are so easily available in these places, and that their value is retained because of that, and people, they're so readily available that people look at them as being what? Like karka. That's how Rashi has to explain the last case in the Gemara, right? Which is what we just talked about. Right? The case by Rovo. That he has to explain that is what karka is about gova. So according to Rashi, the sugya switches contexts, right? It says, switches from porna, from being like the assessment in the ksuba to the what? That which they're gova from. According to Tosu or Rabbeinu Tam, it reads as a single sugya. It's a little harder for him because then the sugya switches a term, and it should have read. It should have just used the same term all the way along. Mikan, so this the Tosu says something interesting. Mikan post came to metalta didan mishabdi l'ksuba. So from this, we say in our time, right, that the metaltalim are mishabdi l'ksuba because we look, our metaltalim are like karkos. We treat metaltalim like karkos today. So therefore we can be gova metaltalim. The woman can go and take metaltalim. Now look, it's a very important line. But in here, Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam says that he doesn't think we go that far. Why? If they really are like karka, if a person sells metalkalin, she should be able to go grab him out of the kuchos, which is not true today. We don't say that.
Because metalkalin is no, you don't know it belongs to him. Because the karka, you know you shouldn't buy it. If I give it to you, and I say.
Oh, so that's the next line. Very, very good. That's close. That's called Gzeres Hakshizdacha Matov. It's exactly what you're describing. Is then you'll ruse, what's the takanat ashuk? It's exactly what you're saying. When there's property, there's a kol, there's a lien on the property, you know not to buy it. But when by metaltalin, you have no idea how much he has, and you don't know how to protect yourself against the
and it's really low.
It's true. So that's why Rabbeinu Tam says this can't be true. Because otherwise, he says, ve'ela machmas takanas ha-ga'onim. Why is the reason that we take from metaltalin? Is that's a takanas ha-ga'onim, which you saw in Tosus earlier. Tosus a couple times had mentioned this. Right, the gavi metaltle diyame, that we allow you to take out of the estate, not from the kucho, but out of the estate, you can be gove the ksuba and other things. But we only are from mishabde, which are from karkos. We say you can also take it out of metaltle. Kamosh katu b'ktaver shiragon, it's written in the shiragon. So that's only a takanas geonim that you could take from the estate, even metaltle, not just karkos, but not that metaltle became like karkos. Because that has major implications. One is that you'd be able to take out of the lakuchos. Number two is what Yossi was saying, is that it ruins the takanas ashuk. There's no way to do business. All business transactions wouldn't stand anymore because nobody would know how to protect themselves from these types of liens. So very interesting. Just interesting to us because we learned the Gemara differently, and then he introduces this issue. What do we do today? All right. Next. Hamasid bito stam lo yifid la mechamashim zuz. The person who marries off his daughter shouldn't give less than 50 zuz. Pasak lachnisa ruma, right? If he posek that she comes with nothing, right? Lo yomar abal shechnechsena lebeiti achsena beksuti. So the father says he's coming in with zero. So the baal says, you know what? I'll wait when she's in my house. I'll take care of her when she's in my house. Ela mechasev ve'oda bebeit aviyah. No, he's got, once he's made the connection, once he's engaged her, he has kedushin with her, he's got to start dressing her. Then the responsibility starts with. Someone who marries off a yotoma, an orphan, right? Who's the one marrying off the yotoma? That's the gabay tzedaka, right? The gabay tzedaka has to give 50 zuz. And if what the tzedaka has the ability to give her, according to what she should really do, according to her status, then we do that even if it's in excess of that 50 zuz. That we're talking about 50 zuz. We're talking about 50 zuz medina. Right? The Kohen says, my, how do you know this? Mitani Seifa, Yesh Bekis, Mefarna Sema, Tana Fik Kvoda. Ramina, my keys, Amrachavar, Nakishot Staka. We're talking about what the Gavai Staka giving more. If you think it's 50 zuz min haTorah, which is 8 times the amount of a Medina zuz, then yesh bekis kamei arvinim lah. I mean, how much? I mean, if the basic is that is the 400 zuz, then I mean, what do you think? How much more we're going to give her? It's not a reasonable amount. You know, 50 zuz pshitei. That what we're talking about, 50 Medina zuz. Right? Great. Here comes a bunch of gemaras here, very amazing gemaras about stucco. Tarabani yatom v'yatomash ba'ul defit parnes. If a yatom and a yatom will come to get staka, we saw this earlier with banim and banot, that you give the yatom first and then the yatoma. Why? Right, that it's okay or less embarrassing for the man to go around and knock on the doors to look for food. It's not right to send out a woman. It's not sanua. It's not appropriate. And it's much more lowly fi kvoda and mitzvaysha if she has to go around and collect staka door to door. Right, yatom v'yatoma shebaul inasei, they come to be married off. Right, mesina te yatoma v'achak mesina te yatom. First of all, you marry off the yatoma, then the yatom. B'meishe boshtash l'isham rubashel ish. The embarrassment of a woman is much greater if she, I guess, either stays single or she doesn't have an appropriate wedding or she is what has to go around door to door asking for her wedding. So all of these things are not appropriate for the woman, and therefore we marry her off first. Torah bani yatom shebalisa. What happens if you have an orphan who comes to get married? Sofin lo bayit. You first rent him a house. Umatzian lo mita. Then you get him a bed. V'chol kli teshmisho and everything he needs to make a house. V'akakak masian lo isha. Then you get him a wife. You don't just marry him off to a woman. You prepare him for that he can be a balabas, right? That he can be a, he can now take a woman into his house. Shenemar de machzero asher yechzer lo, that we're supposed to give him without his deficit that he has. De machzero zeh bayit. Right, that which he needs, that's a house. Asher yechsar, that is deficit, zemita v'shulchan. Right, that is his table and a bed, furniture. Lo, zuisha. And then we get him a wife, right? V'cheinu omer, esel lo ezer konegdo. How do we know lo means a wife? Because it says esel lo ezer konegdo. So that we see the word lo is used as a term for a spouse. Tanabana de machzero, ata mitzuve alav l'farnaso, v'yata mitzuve alav l'ashro. You are commanded for an ani to what? To give him parnasa, to take care of him, but not to enrich him, right? So that seems basic. Asher yechzalo, this is the harder part of the pasuk. Any deficit that he has, what does that mean? Afilu sus l'rkov alav ve'eved l'rutz l'fav. Even a horse to ride, and an eved to run before him. Amru lov al hila zakein. So said about hila zakein, it sounds like he was supporting a yatom. Shlokach l'ani ben tovim, gave to a poor person ben tovim, which means he came from a family of higher status, right? People of higher status. So therefore, he had fallen from his status of being ben tovim. Echad sus l'rkov alav ve'eved l'rutz l'fanav. He got for him a horse to ride on and eved to run before him. So that was appropriate for his status that he came from, or his original status, because that's the type of family stature that he came from. Pam achat lo matza eved l'rutz l'fanav. One time, he couldn't hire an eved to run before him. Ve'rutz l'fanav shlosha milim. Hillel himself acted as the eved of this individual to provide him that which he needed.
Isn't giving someone an eved l'rutz l'fanav kind of being ma'asher?
No, that's the point here. That's exactly the point. That ma'asher means that it's beyond his stature, beyond what he was used to. Yeah. So that the Gemara is learning here that de machzero, right, the farnesoto is which is appropriate for his stature, which is status, his prior status. Right, that's exactly right. That's exactly the point of the Gemara. That is not considered la ashro. That's considered de machzero. That's his deficit, not his osher. Right. Tanu Rabbanu Masei Ban Shegil Elyon Shlakhu La Ani Ben Tovim Echad Mitzipori Litro Basar Bechol Yom. Used to give him a liter of basar, right, each day. So where it says litro basar, my rebuto. That's a normal amount of meat. I mean, that's not exceptional. Tanu Rabbanu Litro Basar Mishelofot. No, they used to give him a liter of basar of birds, right, of fowl, and that was what? That was not common and very expensive, but that's what he was used to, so that's what they got him. V'ibay seima belitra basar mamash, talking about a liter basar, but belitra basar mamash, they took for him, it cost them a liter to get him meat. I mean, the meat was so expensive that they had to pay a liter for it, and that they still did. Ravashi yomar atam kfar katanaya, it was a small village, right? And therefore, b'chol yoma mevavsidu chiyutam tulote. Because to them, when they shecht, to get him a liter of basar, they had to shecht an animal each day. And then once they shekel the animal, in a city you could sell off, once you shekel the animal, you could sell off the rest of the animal because there are many buyers coming to the butcher shop. They didn't have preservatives, they didn't have refrigeration. Right? So basically when you shekel an animal, you had to sell it within a short period of time. Here, if they're gonna, every day going to provide them this amount of meat, they have to shekel an animal, and then the excess or the residual was not going to be sold off. So they're going to lose out a large amount of money to get him his liter basar each day. Right? What do you eat every day? Meaning this is a person coming for tzedakah to Rabbi Nechemia. My normal meal is fat meat and old wine, meaning like I eat well. I eat very well. Would you, are you willing to eat with me? I mean, that you want to come and I'll support you. You'll eat lentils like I do. So Gilgalimo, he decided to join him. Badashim mate, and then he died. Amar oylo lazesh hargo Nechemia. What was this guy that Nechemia saying about him that Nechemia killed him? Adarava, what do you mean? Oylo la Nechemia shahargo lazesh. Nechemia should be worried he killed somebody by having to meet with him. So it says, who to violate the fnuki nafshi kulehai. He shouldn't have been such a mufunak, right? That he would die from eating adashim versus eating bashi shamein v'yayin. Oh, that they come at the Rava. So this person who was looking for panasa came before Rava. Amar lo, come atas seid. What do you, b'me atas seid? What do you eat every day? Amar lo, b'tar nagol futuma. And I eat fat chicken, v'yayin yashan, and old wine. Amar lo, lo chayshet l'ducha d'tzipura. Aren't you? I mean, here you're getting from the tzedakah box, and you're eating like a king. I mean, what, don't you worry about the fact that this is going to cause a huge pressure on the funds of the tzibur? I'm like, ato mitidhu kachilna. I don't eat from them. Midrachmana kachilna. I eat from God. Hashem provides, right? The tanina enei kol alecha yisaberu. Right? Everybody, all the eyes are looking towards you to get right their sustenance. Vatanatun lahem etachlam biito. And you give them if their food, bi'ito, would here would be bi'ito in their time. In their time, meaning bi'itam lo ne'amar, not in their time being the plural, meaning that the tzibur's time, ela bi'ito, in that person's time, meaning that what? Whatever a person needs, Hashem takes care of them when they need it. So bi'ito, either you could read here, bi'ito means that he didn't eat it every day, but whenever he needed it, he felt like it Hashem provided. I mean, he took it from tzedakah because Hashem was providing it, not the tzibur. Or you can say because ito is in the singular, and now in the plural means that Hashem looks out for each individual's needs, what they need, meaning that what's their level, even if their level of need is beyond what is normal. So malamech kol echad ved noter kol shurkan panos noto biito adahachi. So in the meantime, ate achte the Rava. Rava's sister shows up. I hadn't seen her for 13 years. The sister shows up. Achle tarnagolas petuma v'yayin yashan. As a gift, she brings them a fat chicken and old wine. So Amar might have come out. So Rava says, what do we have here? So Amar lei, nenenti lecha kumachal. So Rava continued, you know, Hashem answered you. We've spoken enough. I shouldn't have said anything. And here Hashem provides for you. Right? This, the Nevardic Jews that go out onto the train and they don't have any money. And the guy, you know, the famous, the guy behind him is standing online. He says, what are you going to do? He says, Hashem will take care of me. Hashem will take care of me. And they're online, and the other Jew's watching him. He's coming up to the ticket window, and he doesn't have any money. So the other Jew's going, how's he going to do this? And then he says, well, how could you go there? So he says, Hashem will take care of me. Hashem will take care of me. So he's about to go up to the window, and the other Jew sees, and he says, oh my gosh, I can't, you know, I can't let him go. He goes and gives him the money to pay for the ticket. So that's it. She says, Hashem took care of him, right? That when someone, this person believed, when he relied on tzedakah, that it was from Hashem who was providing the tzedakah from him, even though the messengers were the tzibur. Nevertheless, it was what? It was from Hashem, and that goes along with the Or Chaim that we read at the beginning of the shir, that tzedakah comes from the Shorash with tzedek, that he's getting back what he's entitled to. Tzedakah is not because the tzibur is giving him something beyond, you know, beyond what is the Fnim Yeshuas HaDin, but rather, that's min HaDin. That's what he's entitled to. That's his parnasa. Alright. So this is the opposite type of person. He has no money and he does not want to take from the tzibur. So notin lo l'shum halvah. First you offer him as a loan. And then you cancel the loan. So you give it to him as a loan so he won't think that he's getting stuck up. And later on when he can't repay the loan, you just say keep it. Right? That's the Rabbi Meir. That's how he handles the situation with Rabbi Meir. First you give it to him as a gift. That after you give it to him as a loan, the shomatana, how could you start as a gift? The whole point is he won't take. So Amar Rav, Toach lo lishum matana. That we start with a gift. So the argument here is, here's a person who does not want to take tzedaka. The question is, how to best get him to take tzedaka? So Rav Meir says, what do? You give him a loan, and then later on you forgive the loan. So here, the Chachamim say, no, you can't do that. Why? Because he's not going to take a loan. Because he's afraid that he won't be able to repay it. And he knows that he can't repay it, so he won't take the loan. So therefore, he's going to be embarrassed to take the loan. He won't take the loan, and he won't take the matana. So Chachamim say, no, you have to be strategic. What do? You first offer him as a gift. Just take it. And he'll say, no, I can't take a gift. Then they'll say, what? They'll give it to him as a loan. So he'll realize that what? That they, since they were really to give it to him as a gift, and now they're giving it to him as a loan, they're not in a rush to get repaid, but they're trusting him to repay it. They're not going to take a mashkon, because they were willing to give it to him as a present before, and that's a way to get him. It's a strategic way, knowing that he'll reject the matana, but that will after him to take it as a loan. So that's the strategy of the Chacham. Yeshlo, Vayner Rotzalit Pernes. Now what happens? He has money to support himself, but he's a miser. He doesn't want to use his own money. He goes to tzedakah. Right? So now what? Notnim lo l'shum matana. You give him as a gift. You give it to him from tzedakah. V'chozrim nifrayim yimenu. You go back and you collect it from him. V'chozrim nifrayim yimenu to lo shakil. Then he's not going to take from parna. You know, he's not going to take anymore. Or, again, he's not, the whole thing doesn't work. Right? Because he's already wasn't going to give. Harapapa l'acham yisa. You go back after his death and you get repaid tzedakah for what he took out of the tzedakah. Shimon Omer, Yeshlo Beno Ritzel the Parnes. Shimon argues and says if he has what to his means and he doesn't want to use his money, ain't his karkin lo. Too bad. Right, that's his own problem. Ain't lo Beno Ritzel the Parnes. If he had, doesn't have, and does not want to take from tzedakah, Omer lo Ave Mashkon, Vatul. Say to him, bring a mashkon and take it, Kadesha to Zuach Dat Olav. The fact that they're taking a mashkon from me means that they expect me to pay it back. They're not in a rush, but they think I'm going to pay it back, so he thinks it's a real loan, not just a fake loan where they're going to forgive it. So he says, act, do it in a manner that it looks like a real loan, so he does not feel the embarrassment of taking the loan. Tarabanan, ha'avet zeshein lo, right, it says ha'avet ha'avetenu, right, taking a collateral. Ha'avet zeshein lo, v'ener wotzele parnes, this is someone who does not have, and does not want to take from tzedakah. You take it from him first as a loan, and afterwards you forgive the loan. Someone who has, but is a miser and does not want to use his money, you give him as a gift, and you really make it into a loan. Right? You go back and take it back from him. That's Rabbi Yehuda's position. The Chachamim are like Rabbi Shimon above. He has, he doesn't want to use his own money. And he's karkinlo, we don't listen to this guy, he's out. He has to deal. Too bad. Elamani mikayim tavitenu. So what do you do with the word tavitenu? If it says havet, then what do you do with tavitenu? Divrei Torah kashalom b'nei adam. That's just a way people speak. It's not a drasha. You're not looking for a drasha. It's not that the double lashon is a drasha, but rather the double lashon is just a way, normal way that people would speak. Marukva, havya anya b'shivute. So Ma'ukva had this poor person in his neighborhood, but in their days, when they're talking about a neighborhood, it's not like us, you know. I mean, in Scheinfeld was a neighborhood, but remember the way they were structured, they had a chutzner, they had a mavoi. So when somebody was in the neighborhood, meaning that they were literally, you know, in their little location over there, right? Davaragil, because this story is like in Brachos and other places that, you know, one of them Moraim would hear a woman who's crying at night, da da da, because they were there. You know, it's like living in the God apartments, right? You have, you know, exact everybody's, you know, whose baby's crying, who's in this, because they're right there. That type of shivute, right? So that's what it was here. When it means an ani lived in his. Every day he would go over there and place four coins in his. It's a strange. It's inor de dasha here means hinge, in the hole of the hinge. So today, when we talk about the hole of the hinge, like, makes no sense. Like, why would he ever look in the hinge, right? The hinge is permanently on. But my feeling is that in their day, they didn't use when they had a hinge, not like us, the door would swivel on the hinge, right? That, the hinge was something that when they went, Tzinor Dadasha was something that they took the door off to go in, and when they put the door, they put it back on, and that's how they closed the door. It wasn't something that swiveled on the hinge. Right? Right, in Shabbos, exactly right. At the end of Shabbos, the windows that they used to take the whole window, they didn't have windows like glass, and they used to take a piece of wood, it came out, and they put it back in. So when he used to put it back in, then only he would see that the money was in the Tzinor Dadash, because that's why he would see it, right? Yom Echad, Amr Izil Echsei Manka Avid Be'ahu Tzivusa. And he says, let me go see who's doing this. Every day the money's there, he doesn't have an idea who's putting it there. So I guess Marukva was running a little late, the Bay Medrasha. Atio de Bitu Bade, his wife went along with him. Came in the Chazyu de Kamatli Le, the Dasha. Right? So when he saw that they were looking at the doorway, I mean, they were looking to put the money over there at the doorway. Nafak Badrayo, he ran out to them to see who it was that was there. Rabbi Makame, they ran away from him, both Rabbi Marukva and his wife. Ailu Tuna, to have a Grufa. So they ran into, they hid in a stove that was Grufa, meaning that it had already been heated up and was cleared out. Nura, have a Grufa Nura. Nura have a Kamaklin Kare de Marukva. The fire, the heat was burning Marukva's feet. He was, they went into an oven. So he's standing on the floor of the oven, which must have been very hot, so his Grufa was already cleared out, but so the heat in there was probably not as great because there was no fire burning there, but the floor of the oven was very hot still. So he's standing there, his feet are burning. Amarlai debitu is a great line. His wife says to him, Shaku karech utiva karai. Stand on my feet. Put your feet on my feet because her feet were not burning. Kalash date. Ramarukva was distraught. Here he is. He's a big Talmud Chacham. He does stucco every day. And he's standing in there and his feet are burning and his wife's feet are fine. And he has to rely on his wife. He has to use his wife to get at this. First of all, she says, you shouldn't feel that way. I'm at home. So when the Aniyim come, I'm always there. You're in the base medrash all day. So I'm the one who's always, when the Aniyim come, I'm the one that's available. Number two is, right, that I'm able to give them ready-made food. You put money there. Your tzedakah is giving money. I'm cooking, I'm baking for the family. So when the Aniyim show up, I give them ready-made food, stuff that they can use right away. So therefore, my tzedakah has that higher level. One, because I'm able to do it all the time. Number two is because I give them stuff that's ready-made. So therefore, that's why the husband was able to stand, my wife was able to stand on her feet, that she had that elevated status of giving tzedakah. Okay, my kuli hai. So what? Why did they let the guy see him? Why were they running away from him? So that's when it says, Dharma Mazutra Batubi Amarav, Dharma Ila Amaravuna Bars Biznamar Bishimon. Better for a person to throw himself into the fire, a person should not be embarrassed. So they were worried about the fact that this ani would be embarrassed because Marukva lived in Shivute, was placing the money there. Because of that, they threw themselves into the fire. Minalan, how do we know that's true? Mitamar, dechtev him butzeit. Right, that she was taken out. But he did, right, he said that she was. What would she be taken out to be burned at the stake? Mar ukva. So what was it? He mutzeit. So Tosas learns over here. It's very strange. Tosas says Rabbeinu Chananel garis mutzeit with Aaron Aleph. Mutzeit meaning he mutzeit means she was taken out. Right, but here he's learning mutzeit that Aleph means that what? Mutzeit like the fire was started already. Right, they kindled the fire. Problem is that you can't find anywhere, there's nowhere in our Torah that it's written without an aleph. Mutzeit without an aleph is to kindle. Mutzeit with an aleph is, from the word matzah, is to be taken out. So it's not, there's nowhere that it's ever written without an aleph. There's no Torah. It's not a gears to change. It's not a, you know, it's such a thing. Right? What?
It's a drasha.
Right. Well, he doesn't seem to say that. Rabbeinu Chananel says, Goris mutzeit. He writes mutzeit in our Gemara here. He mutzeit is quoting the pasuk. So that's the Marsha and Sota. The Marsha and Sota says some of what you're saying, that it's a drush, meaning that the fact is that the Aleph is silent here. He mutzeit, not literally that he means that mutzeit is found written without an Aleph, but because of the way we pronounce the word, the Kri of the word is mutzeit without an Aleph. You don't know that there's an Aleph there. And that doesn't mean he mutzeit. Alright, that's a way for him to get around. I don't know, I wonder if the Rabbeinu Chananel really had such a...
That is a drush. In other words,
the drush is that it's a Kri, right, the Kri and Exit. That's right. There was a poor person in his neighborhood. He used to give him 400 zuz every Erev Yom Kippur. He sat there with his son and said it by himself. He doesn't need it anymore. Right? What did you see? They were pouring him, or they were sprinkling in front of him old wine. Right? So he was acting like a wealthy individual. Right, so that he says, oh my gosh, if he's such a mufunak, I need to send him more money. I mean, that was de machsero, he was learning, right, so his son saw he's rich, he doesn't need money anymore. Rabbi Marukva, right, who saw this, knew that the guy was poor, and that because he lived such a, that was his status, that's the way he needed, he was a mafunak, that he needed more money, so he had to give him demachsaro. When he was about to die, bring me my balance sheet. It was written in it that he gave away 7,000 dinarim. So if you do that, the math means if this was the guy that he gave 400 per year, 7,000 means he was just shy of what of it was about 8 years, right? About 8 years worth of that he gave.
He also gave that woman.
Right. So he gave her 3 dinari zahav. So that one was
a day.
Right. So that would turn out to be a lot. I'm saying that just the cheshbon. How long he did this for, you know, it would have been 18 years if he was doing it this way, I agree with him. He gave out other, he gave 3 dinarim per day, that comes up to about 1,000 of a year, right? So that's also, that would come down to be a less than that he gave out. That he was giving away 1,400 per year, right? So he was giving about 1,400 per year, that would last about 4 years, right? So then he says, dinarim sinike, which is this type of coinage. Amar zvadai klile v'orcha v'chika, I have light food, I mean, I don't have a good backpack to take along. And it's a long way. I mean, he's going up to heaven. He needs more tzchuyot. So kam bismizei lepalgei mamonei. He gave away half his money on the spot to tztaka. So that's heichel. Okay, how did he do this? Amar Rabbi Yehuda beusha. It's kinu amazvei advisei yotz b'chomish. Not allowed to give away more than a 50-year possession. Why is that? Hani milei mechayim. That's when you're alive. Shema yerid minechasav. We don't want him becoming a poor person. I mean, that we don't give it to tztaka to the point that he needs tztaka. But now, what? This guy's about to die. There's nothing to talk about, right? He's going to be gone. We're not going to have to support him anyway. So there's no need to hold on to the money anymore. All right, we'll stop here.